It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running for the midweek. It's the 16th of January, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. That's where the chat room button is. If you would care to pick out a screen name and a password, it's all free. Everything at The Horn is free. Nobody ever gets a bill. But if you pick out a screen name and a password and jump in, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Little Thunder and Scott and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, veteran chat room moderator, that is, Sparky, who, although a Space and Guild Master, has chosen not to fold space in the rain again. More rain coming down in Northern California, and that's a good thing, I think. You'll also be capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this little ongoing effort in progressive, liberal, independent broadcasting happens because of our subscribers and the rest of the community who support the program and keep it on the air day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, and yes, year in, year out, decade in and decade out. And so we thank our subscribers today. Thank you very, very kindly to Glenn. Thank you very much. And to Reinhard and Timothy, thanks indeed for being partial sponsors of the program. Reinhard, Glenn, and Timothy. That's how we keep all the plates spinning on top of all the sticks. As it stands this evening, and I neglected a thank you last night, and I apologize for it. It didn't come in the usual, the way that other things came in, via PayPal, where I see things immediately. But I want to thank our buddy Hung Like Jesus for helping out. That meant that the fundraising goal wound up at $520, and then earlier today, where'd it go? Sorry, dead air. But also, thanks go out to thanks go out to Barbara as well, who took it down to 505. And I can tell you to begin the program at 4 minutes past the hour. Time check. Damn it, got me again. Old DJ habits die hard. I tell you, they do. They do. We're at 505, and there's a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of John. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Let's do a matching challenge, John says. Let's have the other hornies kick in $100 tonight, I'll kick in another 100. I'll leave it to your inimitable skills. Thank you, John. That is pretty inimitable on your part as well. Really inimitable. So it's a two-for-one challenge. If we can raise 100, John will treble your money. 100 on the front, 100 to match, and then he matches that. And that will take us from 505 down to 205. And we'll be very close to, well, we will have caught up with Monday and Tuesday. And that'll only leave today. So that is humongous. That's tremendous. That's powerful. Please, let's respond. Let's knock out John's challenge early. So that hopefully, we might come all the way to even this evening and make the bill paying a little bit more tolerable. Yes. Thank you, John. Thank you very much indeed. Challenge on the table, not just one, but 200. And it awaits your responses. Thank you very kindly to John again and to all our subscribers for keeping all of this going. It is, of course, the middle of the week. It's hump day, downhill to Friday. But, of course, that also means something entirely different here in our little community. That means it is, of course, Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. And I don't know what got into the little old blue-haired ladies, but they came up to me earlier today, brethren and sister, and said, you know, we've done the chicken and dumplings and the baked ham and had all kinds of briskets and pulled pork and... You know what we ain't done in a while? And I said, no, ladies, what? And they said, we ain't had no seared beef tips and gravy over that fancy rice you like so much. I said, the jasmine rice? That stuff, yeah. And so they sent me out to the store and got a huge passel of sirloin tips. And, of course, they did their magic and made a beautiful, beautiful pot of brown gravy. Those beef tips were seared up pretty, and yet they were nice and still a little bit pink on the inside. Whoo, mercy! And managed to do it without, because, you know, remember, you know, the smoker's out of commission right now. So it was sirloin tips and brown gravy over long grain jasmine rice. Oh, the rice was so fragrant, brethren and sistren, and the little old blue-haired ladies were beside themselves with their creativity this evening. Alongside, there was some green beans with onions and potatoes mixed up amongst them, and I mean some kind of yummy. And a little bit of, we are eschewing salad at the cathedral these days, seeing how nobody's out there inspecting the lettuce to make sure they're not covered up with little poo molecules, E. coli and whatnot, right? So taking a pass on the salad, well, there was potato salad instead, because at least the potatoes get thoroughly cooked. And not that sweet kind either. This was nice and tangy and tart with a little bit of a hot bacon dressing over it. Ooh, it was... Oh. And then over there on the dessert table, well now, about four round, three-layer homemade apple cakes with homemade homemade caramel icing. I saw the little old blue-haired ladies making the caramel icing themselves, and mercy sakes alive, it was fantastic. And somehow or another, I don't know how it happens, but the deacons, they managed to pack away the beef tips and gravy and the potato salad and the green beans. Yes. And then they went after that apple cake with the homemade caramel icing with a will. Oh, you ever seen lions tearing at a gazelle out on the African savanna? Well, it was like that, only with cake. And it was just all fangs and fingers until there wasn't so much as a scrap left. Little old blue-haired ladies kind of like it, though, because that means there's less to clean up. And so the deacons trundled their massive bulk up those couple of flights of stairs and went out into the parking lot where they took to smoking with the sinners. They keep telling me it's missionary work, but I somehow don't believe it, because their cigarette intake keeps going up, and none of the sinners are coming into the sanctuary. I'm beginning to get a a mite worried about the deacons, but, well, Sister Carol Baker keeps them in line because she showed up at the vestibule door there with the cathedral's solar-powered cattle prod, and it's kind of humid, and even though it's cold, it's wet. It's that all the way to the bone cold wet, and the cattle prod was just crackling, and they heard the magic crackle, and the deacons took to running. Well, not really running, lumbering, stumbling and bumbling. And they went on past Sister Carol, through the vestibule, past that bowl of desiccating butter mints, and they're waiting down front, brethren and sistren. They are waiting down front with Brother John's challenge on the table. They've got their heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined collection plates in hand, and they're getting ready to pass them through the congregation, just with every head bowed and every eye closed as we move toward the lesson for the evening on this prayer meeting. Then, by all means, with your head bowed, keep that one eye open so you don't wind up with a closed head injury when one of them big old heavy plates wraps you in the noggin. But just press that PayPal button and pass it on. Darlene in Connecticut, Sister Darlene, says, sounds like a great deal to me. Consider John's challenge met. Wow. So, Darlene, Sister Darlene, thank you so very kindly. That means that we got $205 to go to finish the evening, and that is huge. So just take the plate and keep passing it, and we'll actually get caught up this evening. And that is tremendous. Absolutely. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would step forward, please, to lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh, ee, ooh, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. How glory to Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I'm calling on you right now to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Amen. And scrunch and screech and scrunch and wiggle and waggle and waddle out from amongst the pews and move without rhythm so your honk glory won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall, fall, brethren and sistren, sinners, on your knees at the altar and lay your hands, honk, amen, upon the subwoofer and feel the healing
boiling rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. Amen, hallelujah, glory, praise his holy name. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Ponerized Pontiff, Munificent Maharaja, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Brethren and sistren, you know, as we study the prophetical texts, glory, we will find many signs of which we should be aware and things we should be alert to and looking for as the second coming of Jesus Christ draws ever nigh. Or at least that's what they say over in the religion business. And there are signs and portents all through the Bible, you know, Numbers, and the number shall be 6, and the 600, and the 60, and it's going to be on the forehead or the back of your hand. Maybe that's what's under Julius Geezer's Band-Aid, huh? That's, yep, 666 right there. Inquiring minds. And their tongues shall rot out, and their head and their eyes shall fall out of their sockets. And there's pale horses and dragons and whores. And I mean, it's all kinds of things. But some people are just better at this than others, however, because there is a new sign, brethren and sistren, there is a new sign that presages the arrival or the second coming of Jesus Christ. There is. And a feller named Charlie Shamp was the one what alerted everybody to it. And he's been having prophetical visions from the Lord. Mm-hmm. You'll never guess where the signs were actually found.
In the spirit, I went into a vision, and I was brought to a national like stadium where there was a sporting event that was happening, and suddenly the whole entire stadium started to shake, and the Lord said, "I'm returning again to America to shake the stadiums for revival, but my sons and daughters need to recognize that when this happens, this was an event that's going to take place." Some point in the future, there will be a stadium that will shake again. Again, that's very, that's very, you need to understand again. Because in the encounter that I had, the Lord brought me back to 1989, the year 1989. And he took me into another stadium. And in this stadium.
Time traveling with Jeebus. Yes. All the uh-huhs are coming from. Noted bucket pudding, and that still sounds obscene. Noted bucket pudding salesman, Jim Baker. Charlie Shamp, I have never heard of before, but something tells me we'll probably be, yeah. Because he's got a hustle, and he's working it for all he's worth. I want to go watch a baseball game with you, Charlie.
I saw it begin to violently shake. And I said, Lord, where am I? And he said, you're in Candlestick Park.
Oh, yeah, World Series.
The third game of the World Series.
Yeah.
And he said, I brought this shaking to as a sign of awakening of what I wanted to do in 1989. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I was lifted into the city of Cincinnati. And I saw a man standing in red. And I said, who is this, Lord? He said, this is Peter to me. He said, this man was a pastime hero of American of America. And I said, who is it, Lord? He said, Pete Rose. He said, 1989, he said there was a massive scandal that took place with Pete Rose.
That's right.
He said, and even to this day, he has not been allowed to enter into the Hall of Fame. But
yea, verily, he has not been allowed to enter into the Hall of Fame, whether shorn or unshorn, shoot or unshod. He has not been allowed to enter unto the precincts of the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Peter. They constantly have to find new and better and weirder shtick. And, yeah, this is that.
He said as a prophetic sign, he said that the Lord will redeem him and allow him to be forgiven and enter into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it will be a sign to the church that those that have been away from the Lord that were playing in the game, they were playing in the game, they were on the field, but they were taken out through scandal. The Lord said that it will be a sign that I'm returning.
Hold on here. Am I to understand that Pete Rose is not going to be forgiven by Jesus Christ until he enters, or that his proof... So Jesus hasn't forgiven Pete Rose yet for gambling on baseball. And for gambling on his own team. Now me, I'm no prophet. I'm just a... You know, used to be a bigger baseball fan than I am now. But it always seemed to me that there were two cases of banned from the Hall of Fame. One was Shoeless Joe Jackson. The other was Pete Rose. Shoeless Joe was banned as a result of the crackdown brought on by Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis because he was part of the 1919 Black Sox scandal, in which Chicago is said to have thrown the World Series at the behest of a bunch of gamblers. And Shoeless Joe was, at the time, the best baseball player the game had ever known. And it was, you know, 30, 40 years old then, the game was. A barely literate... never did a single thing in that entire World Series that would call his play or conduct into... He took the money, but he couldn't bring himself to throw any games or to make any errors. But he was banned from baseball and kept out of the Hall of Fame just the same. Shoeless Joe's shoes are in the world, or are in the Hall of Fame, but Shoeless Joe isn't. And of course, yeah, and that was, of course, with the Cincinnati Reds, as Steve points out. Steve in New York was, like me, raised a Reds fan. And so I would think that if Jesus... There's really nothing for Jesus to forgive Shoeless Joe of, and yet there's no mention of getting him into the Hall. But Pete Rose, Jesus is eventually going to forgive, and that's going to be a sign of the second coming? Boy, I never read nothing like this in Revelations back in Bible study.
Just let me stop just a second.
Yes, sir.
Pete
yeah,
Rose,
really, Jim.
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a baseball.
Huh. Wait, this is crazy. Why did we book this fucker? But, right. Pete Rose sent Jim Baker a baseball.
Pete Rose just sent you a baseball.
Yes, and wrote on it.
A few years ago.
Wow.
And asked me to pray for him.
Yes. Oh. Plus, we have a big poster of Pete Rose that he signed.
Nobody's ever mentioned. I mean, I've never talked about it.
No, we never talked about it.
But you're sharing.
Never talked about it until we were talking about it right before the show and we worked up this little hustle. Did you hear the woo there among the faithful in the who have been corralled into the studio there in Branson, Missouri? Woo! Clapping. So, baseball, sign of the end times.
This is, yeah. It's, wow.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, what else can you say but wow? we've gotten on the wrong side of Ron and Raleigh early this evening. What in the actual fuck? Baseball as parable? Hell, I didn't know that Jehovah was a fan of the national pastime. Do these guys ever pay a price when this shit comes a cropper? No. No. You know, you can't blame me. I'm just the messenger. He just tells me stuff. And Marty, meanwhile, Pete Rose sent a telecharlatan to baseball and asked to be prayed for? Yo, okay. Mm-hmm. Marty pointing out, so I guess this means God was an A's fan in 1989? Why else would God cause the Loma Prieta earthquake before Game 3? Also, if God was really angry about Pete Rose, the earthquake would have been in Cincinnati in 1990! So, you know, there's that, too. But it ain't every day we get to start prayer meeting Wednesday with a... I wonder how Pete feels... You know, it kind of puts a whole new meaning to coming in spikes high, doesn't it? I wonder, if Pete Rose was barreling toward home, you reckon he'd lower the boom if Jesus was the catcher, like he did in the All-Star game and ruined the career of, who was the Tigers catcher at the time? Yeah, and that was just proof that Pete's Charlie Hustle. Pete plays through it, absolutely. See, it ain't so, Joe. Jesus. But oddly enough, and I got nothing to really explain this. But oddly enough, this is a. We got two baseball stories for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Some baseball fans may remember a guy by the name of John Wetteland, Wetteland. He was a hell of a closer, and in 1996, he was the MVP of the World Series for the Yankees. 1996, damn. That was a... seems like only yesterday. But it was actually 22 and a half years ago. But after he won the MVP, the New York Times profiled him, or they'd previously profiled him, and he talked about how much he loved Jesus. I honestly try to walk with Jesus Christ every day. My relationship with Jesus Christ is not lip service. It is of utmost importance to me. It is even more important than my relationship with my wife. I know that my wife considers her relationship with him more important than her relationship with me. Ultimately, that's who I'm going to have to face. That's going to be a great day. Well, he went on. He left baseball for a little while. He served as a bullpen coach for some baseball teams. And then he went off and taught Bible classes at a private Christian high school down in, of course, Texas. And everybody knew what a great Christian John Wetteland was. Everybody was absolutely certain that his faith was deep and abiding, and that he certainly had far more than the faith of a mustard seed. John Wetteland. Well, you know that part about ultimately that's who I'm going to have to face, that's going to be a great day? Well, this past Monday, Hall of Famer John Wetteland, who is in the Hall of Fame, he done got arrested. Yeah. And kind of not just arrested on something really, really nasty. He's 52 years old now, John Wetteland. And he got busted on Monday on a single count of continuous sexual abuse of a child younger than 14. According to the arrest warrant, it started in 2004. This is going to make keeping that fellowship dinner down a little bit difficult. It started in 2004 when good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian John Wetland began molesting a child who was 4 years old. And then it happened, as far as law enforcement authorities can tell, two other times during a two-year period. He had retired from baseball by then, John Wetland. But he had continued to teach Bible classes in that good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian religion industry private school. So while he was teaching Bible classes, he was compelling a 4-year-old child to perform oral sex on him. What'd he say there? Ultimately, that's who I'm going to have to face. That's going to be a great day. And, you know, he's probably not, I mean, he probably has to worry about maybe going to prison. But he does not have to worry about going to hell. Because he's already said, forgive me, Jesus, for, you know, putting my, in the mouth of the thorn. And I'm sorry, Jesus. And Jesus says, well, that's okay. Don't you worry about it, John. You had one badass split fingered fastball. It'll be okay. And besides, I'm going to come back any minute now. I'll just ask Pete Rose. God bless him. So Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe Jackson isn't in the Hall of Fame. John Wetland is in the Hall of Fame. I wonder if he's going to stay in the Hall of Fame. Or will they give him an asterisk on his plaque? When, you know, maybe the asterisk under, you know, his lifetime ERA, his lifetime strikeouts, number of innings pitched. And then down underneath, raped a 4-year-old. But you can bet that that all manner of evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, etc. around that. Well, you know, he's not perfect, just forgiven. Ugh. Oh, hey, now this isn't necessarily prayer meeting, but the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, a dude by the name of Dabo Swinney, he's all the time talking about how much he loves Jesus and how much Jesus loves him and Jesus loves Clemson and Jesus loves all the football players and all the cheerleaders and the people in the band. You know, whatever. Well, the Clemson Hamburger Gate won't seem to go away because the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians can't just leave a story alone and not tell lies about it. Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback, and, you know, he had a hell of a game in the national championship. But over on social media, over on Twitter, some account called Cloyd Rivers, who has 1.84 million followers, posted an image of Trevor Lawrence. Looks a little like Celine Dion, he does. With the following quote. President Trump got all our favorite foods. It was the best meal we ever had.
Then we go and see the coastal elite media trashing it for not being organic vegan. We're football players, not bloggers. This was a perfect blue-collar party. You know, handing somebody a cold hamburger is literally a can something be a literal metaphor? Giving somebody a cold hamburger is an actual metaphor for treating them poorly. But according to this quote, this was a perfect blue-collar party with the cold hamburgers. Well, of course, the maggot, like the god emperor they worship, was lying. And so Trevor Lawrence went on to Twitter and said, I never said this, by the way. I don't know where it came from. However, the trip to the White House was awesome. And I'm not gonna hate on Trevor Lawrence for saying that, because it's, look, you've won the national championship, you get invited to the White House. I don't like Donald Trump. I wouldn't have showed up. But I'm also not a 19-year-old kid who just won the national championship in college football. I imagine, 75 members of the team showed up? Cool. I think they deserve something better than cold hamburgers. But, Julius Geezer couldn't even call across the street and get him to bring some warming dishes from his nasty-ass hotel. Let alone feed him from his nasty-ass hotel. And then some maggot comes along and says, the coastal elite media trashing it for not being organic vegan. I have not seen a single remark about that foolishness that says that it should have been vegan. How astonishingly stupid can these people be? Blue collar? This was a perfect blue-collar party. These are athletes at one of the most elite, there's that word, elite sporting colleges in the country. They got 2 national championships. They're not quite in the same rarefied atmosphere as, say, Alabama, but they're pretty damn close. And some lying maggot thinks that they're blue collar? Holy crap. Well, you know, what do you expect? Supporters of Julius Geezer are going to reflect his shady conduct. Trevor Lawrence was not the one, Steve, who said, I thought this was a joke. That was some other, player. Well, how about that? I didn't know that. Marty tells me, Michael Strahan has invited the Clemson team to a properly catered celebration with him. And by the way, that food Caligula's Nero gave them, how long it had been sitting there? Anyone notice the lack of proper warmers? Yeah, oh, God knows what was growing in those things. But then again, this is not an experiment you want to perform. I just happen to have seen it done. You can take a McDonald's cheeseburger, and you can unwrap it and just set it on top of your chest of drawers or your dresser or whatever, and leave it there. And it won't decompose. It'll get harder than Chinese arithmetic, but it won't decompose.
So I don't even know if pathogens can live on a McDonald's hamburger. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Randy and PA. You don't want to know. Earther, baseballing a four-year-old. See, Bob, it wasn't so bad. He didn't go after a three-year-old. Plus, you should have seen what that four-year-old was wearing. Even Jesus couldn't forgive that. Now, baseball guy, totally forgiven. Plus, Earther adds, Trump probably served them Trump burgers, which I'm sure have stray fingers and broken glass. Oh, yuck! Well, there went the dinner hour in the central time zone. Thank you, Earther. Thank you so much. Flavio, meanwhile, says, subject line metaphors, serving cold junk food on silver-plated platters is a perfect metaphor for Trump's entire presidency so far, don't you think? Sort of along the lines of, when you're bowling and you roll a spare and you come up in your next frame and you post a two, that's where my bowling buddies would say, well, that there is whipped cream on shit is what that is. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa points out, we have high school coaches who buy their players steak dinners out of their own poorly paid high school coach pocket. This so-called billionaire bag of pus couldn't spring for a dozen Outback dinners? Well, yeah, it's... but, I mean, it really is worse than that, Asa. He owns a hotel with a supposedly snazzy restaurant in it that sells a $50 New York strip steak that he likes to have burnt to a crisp and bathed in ketchup. They serve because they are compelled to, one waiter said. They actually offer Trump Vineyards winery wines, which are, according to some wine snob somewhere, just a shade lower in quality than your average Boone's Farm cherry smash. Okay, Jason letting us know. I'll do the experiment. He says, oh, nonsense. It will indeed rot. I'll do the experiment. I'll let you know. Well, if it rots within the first 3 months, get back with me. Because I saw, it's the things that people do, college kids, whatever. I saw a McDonald's cheeseburger sit out for weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks. And you couldn't even get the stoners with the munchies to eat it. But you could pick it up and go, and it would go whack, whack, whack when you tapped it on the tabletop there. Randy tells me that's because a McDonald's hamburger is made supposedly of mostly Roundup tainted soy product. Well, tofu will rot. Maybe it's the Roundup. I don't know. I'm easily confused. Yeah, Monique says, my mom asked why the billionaire didn't hire a personal chef and give those boys some steak. Well, because A, he's not really a billionaire. B, he's a cheapskate. C, he loves hamburgers and fast food. I'm sure he garmed on them as soon as they arrived and they were still hot. On the other hand, I got to give kudos to the Burger King Twitter account. That was a dandy, what they put out. Saying that they were not going to be able to serve yesterday because of the you know what? I like your mom, Monique. Monique's mom said, he really is stupid. Yes, he really, really is. At least I hope Mom wasn't talking about me. Yeah, but Burger King, zinged the chlamydia Claudius. See if I can find it here real quick. Yeah, there it is. Burger King epically roasts Trump's hamburgers tweet. By the way, he did eventually delete the tweet once he realized he'd made an ass of himself again. Great being with the national champion Clemson Tigers last night at the White House. Because of the shutdown, capital S shutdown, I served the massive amounts of capital F fast food. I paid over 1,000 hamburgers, etc. Within 1 hour, it was all gone. Great guys and big eaters. The official blue check mark Burger King Twitter account then said, due to a large order placed yesterday, we're all out of hamburgers. Just serving hamburgers today. Yeah. And I'm sure the maggots are all up in arms and I'll never eat at Burger King again. But, Trevor Lawrence didn't say that business about a perfect blue-collar party. And I know we've got lots of real-world news to go into. Sometimes, honest to God, though, I enjoy not dealing with the real-world news just right off the top and jumping into, diving right into the Trumpian cesspool and being reminded of, as I am reminded all day long, of just what dire straits our country is in. Steve in New York with a note, by the way, says, McDonald's reception. Here's what I think this was all about. Trump is showing what he really thinks about people from the South. This is the same guy who tweeted him singing Green Acres after he signed the farm bill. This spectacle was asswipe, showing his disdain for Southerners as rubes and bumpkins, not worthy of real food. I mean, it's South Carolina. The food traditions of South Carolina, which of course arise out of black culture there, just as they do out of cultures of color in the broader Cajun country traditions. Shrimp and grits, pulled pork, ribs, You want a hamburger? But you know what? When you want a party, I ran across a story the other day. Police had arrested a woman who was toddling around the Walmart parking lot somewhere in the mobility scooter that you can, they've got a mobility scooter there at a couple of them in most Walmarts. And apparently she just went for a joyride out in the parking lot at the same time was drinking. I mean, is it from Stripes where Bill Murray says, I want to party with you. She was scootering around the Walmart parking lot in the morning, drinking wine out of a Pringles can. Woo, party! That woman has gone pro. Sorry, nothing in the story about a cold hamburger or anything. No, not at all. Flavio says, I wasn't planning on eating this evening anyway. That goes back to my having ruined dinner in the Central Time Zone. Yeah. Well, at least you don't have to worry about it now. Thanks, Monique. Monique says, nah, Trump's the only one making my mom curse. She says he's the devil. You good, Bob? Thank you, Monique. I'm much at much more at ease now. Well, I didn't realize that. Thank you very much, D'Angelo. Wetland is in the Texas Hall of Fame, not the Baseball Hall of Fame. Okay. You should also look up Mel Hall and Chad Curtis, both convicted of kid diddling and both played for the Yankees. Ew. Wait, now hold on. Okay, maybe you've already looked it up, D'Angelo, with a correction. Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse of the Cleveland team. Bill Freehan was with the Tigers. He was also 6'2", 203. So I doubt if he was at the plate, Rose would have run him over. Well, yeah, it was Fosse. What made me think Fosse was with the Tigers? It happens over the years. It happens. But we need to get back to work here because we've got more stuff to deal with. This is one of those that just doesn't seem to want to go away. We're back to Rick Joyner again. Haven't heard from him in a little while. By the way, let's just get this out of the way. It'll be a relief for some. It'll be a bit of an, aw, damn it, for others. I don't have any Jesse Lee Peterson clips today. I'm sorry. I just don't. Oh, by the way, quick update on the Walmart with the Pringles can. The Pringles can. David in South Carolina, Stan, points out, she was permanently banned from Walmart. Imagine that. Well, there are just some things up with which Walmart will not put. And I guess we found it. There are, however, if you ever check that website, People of Walmart, a lot of things up with which they will put. Oh, note coming in from Ron. Not Ron in Raleigh. Greetings from the really fucking frozen north, minus 11 Fahrenheit overnight, wind chill of minus 22 tomorrow morning for the morning drive. I'm blessed, but we welcome the young lady from our Partners in Peace claiming asylum in Thailand. That warms me up with that inner glow from being surrounded by good people. Yes. There goes Canada being decent all over again. Because if the young woman from Saudi Arabia had been sent home to Saudi Arabia, the noble, majestic, serene, gracious highnesses probably would have lopped her little old noggin head off. Because, you know, they're all civilized like that, those Saudis. Ron and Raleigh, on the other hand, wants to know, was the scooter woman drinking wine spodiote? All I can say is Pringles can. And that's where I get a little bit lost. Why the Pringles can? I mean, was it too much to tote the big box of wine around? Or did she just not... She was trying to camouflage the wine. Yeah, I noticed when I went into the sheets over there across the river, you can just like you can get beer, you can grab you a can of wine. And I reckon that probably is Spodiote. Jesus. Then there was the woman who's been arrested for fleeing police and creating a traffic hazard and theft. This happened over in Talibandiana. I'll bet you Dave knows all about it. She led police on a lengthy car chase. As they pursued her, and eventually caught up with her. They law enforcement authorities deployed some of those tire shredding strips, and so that's when she that's when they were able to apprehend her. She was fleeing from a Kohl's department store. And as she drove along, and you just have to use your, you just have to use the faculties of your imagination. This is, after all, radio and theater of the mind and all of that. Holly Sansone, 34, was originally stopped on suspicion of shoplifting from a coal store in Portage, Talibandiana, when she shrugged at him and said, "I gotta go," and just sped away from the cops. This, according to the Post-Tribune report. The chase, and there's a public policy debate to be had out of this, as semi-humorous as the rest of the story is. Do you really engage in a 97-mile-an-hour high-speed chase of a white lady you think has, why did I say white? Of anybody that you think has committed a minor misdemeanor. Well, as the chase, because people get killed that way, innocent people. And the cops wreck, and the perp can wreck, and bad things happen, man. Nothing like that transpired in this instance. The chase got up to 97 miles an hour, and as she was zipping down the road, the 34-year-old woman started throwing her take out the car window. So, you know, there you are in your police cruiser, one Adam 12, we're in pursuit of the suspect, one Adam 12, Bruga. And all of a sudden, a pair of panties right on the windshield. And she was chucking lingerie out the windows for all she was worth. When they finally did get her stopped, she was found to have allegedly secreted away 4 bras and 14 pairs of panties. And they eventually arrested her and charged her with resisting law enforcement, theft, and reckless driving. Probably would have been a misdemeanor if she had just let him bust her. Yeah, they valued the lingerie at $445. Oh, 4 bras, 14 pairs of panties, 2 candles, and some air freshener refills. Okie dokie. You know, sometimes you see these headlines and you think, there has to be more room for this kind of thing in our we have to talk about the Florida man. When the words Florida man begin, it ain't going to end well. Florida man chews up seat of police car after cocaine arrest. I always thought cocaine kind of defeated your appetite, but maybe not. Well, you're more than welcome, Bill in Allentown. Says, thank you. No Jesse Lee Peterson and no E-Dub. Thanks, Bob. Don't know if I could take them for another week. I'm just happy as a clam this week. Well, try to stay happy, you mad mollusk. But we got more stuff. I don't know. That's a good point. Randy in PA asked, hey, what happened to the speeding charge? Damn good question. Good question indeed. Marty wants to know, are we presuming the lingerie to be of the lacy type, with apologies to any women listening, or the not very sexy type? We did not get a description. Just 14 and four bras and two candles and some air freshener refills. Sounds, I don't know, it sounds like maybe, well, you know, the fact of the matter is she's probably going to go home and put them on eBay. Apparently that's how that racket works. Oh, more news from the wonderful world of Christianity. This time, and, you know, thematically, we've got an Indiana story, so let's... This isn't Indiana per se, but it's someone from Indiana. We're talking here about mother. You know, Mother Pence, who doesn't approve of her spouse, Mike Pencilneck Geek, being alone with a woman in a room without witnesses. Kind of makes you wonder why Mother feels that way and what Mike Pencilneck Geek has done in the past, but we'll leave that alone for the moment. Mother Pence has found a job. I didn't realize that Mike Pence had been furloughed. I don't think he has. In fact, once the Trump shutdown started, he actually got a raise, north of $10,000. So I don't know why Mother felt like she had to, well, then again, if you were just stuck in the house there with Mike Pencilneck Geek all the time, you might want a job. And she found her one. She's going to teach school. So she found herself a school teaching job. Well, a job, I don't know, yeah. She's going to teach at the Emmanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia. Uh-huh. It's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical religion industry school. And they have rules. This is this is not Vietnam. There are rules. And one of their rules is no homos. Mm-mm. No homosexuals, and even children who think that homosexuals are just okay as human beings, they ain't allowed to go to Emmanuel Christian school in Northern Virginia neither. They got a parent agreement online that says the school refuses to admit any student who participates in or condones homosexual activity. If you sign on to go to work for them, and this is salient to Mother Pence, you have to promise not to engage in any homosexual activity or violate the, and this is the terms of the contract, quote, unique roles of male and female. Moral misconduct which violates the bona fide occupational qualifications for employees includes, but is not limited to, such behaviors as the following. Heterosexual activity outside of marriage, e.g. premarital sex, cohabitation, extramarital sex, homosexual or lesbian sexual activity, polygamy, transgender identity, any other violation of the unique roles of male and female, sexual harassment, use or viewing of pornographic material or websites. Mm-hmm. And they say, marriage unites one man and one woman, and a wife is commanded to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. What was that? What was that from the peanut gallery, dear? Oh, yes, Agnes. The hell you say, says Agnes. And they have to promise that they don't believe in none of that demonic evolution. and parents have to participate in the biblical morality policy, and they have to acknowledge the sanctity of marriage as a strictly heterosexual thing, anybody who practices sexual immorality, homosexual activity, or bisexual activity, you ain't welcome. And you can be throwed out. Here's the fun part. She's actually going back to her old job, Mother Pence is. She taught there for 12 years back when he was a Congress critter. And their daughter, Charlotte Pence, they sent her to the bigotry high school. Kara Brooks, spokescreep for Mother Pence, said, "It's absurd that her decision to teach art to children at a Christian school and the school's religious beliefs are under attack." Who's attacking? We're just reporting. I guess it would be okay if Mother Pence taught at a religious school that said that, say, a young black man and a young white woman can't hold hands. Because that's been a thing, Bob Jones University. Meanwhile, Emmanuel Christian School, well, they're sort of staying dummied up. Mother Pence said in a statement, "I'm excited to be back in the classroom and doing what I love to do. I have missed teaching art." How are you going to teach art without talking about homosexuality? I mean, it's not like Michelangelo Buonarroti was Mike Brady with six kids and a wife. He was kind of, you know, gay. And that's just the tip of the gayberg in the art world. Oh, speaking of which, over in Israel, at the Haifa Museum of Art, there is a full-on, no kidding, purple polka-dotted conniption and kittens with crocheted tails being had because of a piece of art that shows the crucified Ronald McDonald. No, really. And the Israeli authorities are harumphing and saying, "Well, this isn't very nice, and this is makes me." Now, it's art, folks. It's art. Art challenges. Art offends. I mean, when the aforementioned Michelangelo sculpted his Moses, and it looked like he became known as the Horned Moses, and the church fathers were, "Well, why's Moses got horns?" "Oh, well, I'm a sculptor. I'm working in stone. That's the best I could do for fucking halo. What do you want?" "Well, but I mean, he's horns." Meanwhile, going back to the desperate lingerie-based car chase in Talibandiana, Ron in the far, really frozen north, it says, "Less than $500? From my curmudgeonly point of view, all they had to do was get close enough to get the license plate. By all reports, that was entirely possible. Plus, I'm certain that Coles had her on camera, providing the always exciting opportunity to run the perp's photo on the local news. Anything beyond that was probably either police personnel trying to make a name or getting excited about the possibility of a high-speed chase. There is nothing in Coles that could be lifted worth the risks associated with a high-speed chase. The car coming the other way could be my wife or kids." Exactly. The cops in that case should probably be reprimanded. What did you think you were doing, Barney? But Mother Pence is coming in for some criticism. Jody Winterhoff, Senior Vice President for Policy and Political Affairs at the Human Rights Campaign, when inquired of by Huffington Post, said, "Why not teach at a school that welcomes everyone instead of choosing one that won't serve LGBTQ kids, kids of LGBTQ parents?" The Pences never seem to miss an opportunity to show their public service only extends to some. I would have put that a little differently. The Pences never seem to miss an opportunity to show how much they fucking hate anyone who is not white and evangelical Christian like them. That's a good one. Subject line, Christian school. Steve in New York says, "Get to the part where they require students to serve food at a soup kitchen, collect clothes for those who don't have clothing, take those who don't have homes into their school for shelter, work for peace, etc. Oh, wait, those are Jesus' real teachings, and that ain't in them." Arthur says, "Wait, the bricks at the school have a religious belief? School's religious views under attack." No, mother! No! Matt in San Francisco, subject line, mother. You know, I always hear Daffy Duck.
Mother.
So what exactly is mother going to teach? How to be the perfect beard? Mother Merkin. Art. She's teaching art. There's going to be a lot of Play-Doh. Finger painting. Painting grisly, gory scenes of the crucifixion, that sort of thing, you know. Monique says, "You're asking why on this, but Donald Trump is president. I'll take the Pringle wine lady in a heartbeat, thank you very much." Monique also pointing out, "I thought the evangelicals don't want women working." And there's more than a soupçon of truth in that. In point of fact, this being prayer meeting Wednesday, well, how about that? I've even got an example down in the legislature of South Carolina, Stan. The body is made up of 84% men and 16% women in the House and Senate. And that means there's 23 women in the South Carolina House and Senate. And folks are trying to advance the idea of having a more proportional number of women representing the people of the state to reflect the actual populational makeup of the state. So some folks down there in Columbia thought it would be a fine and dandy thing to put a photograph of the General Assembly's Women's Caucus in a place where they could actually be seen and recognized for what... And we're talking about mostly a bunch of Republican women, I mean, let's be honest. And so everybody kind of said, "Hey, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. That'd be nice." But then, no shit, the guy's name is Steve LeFemin. One syllable away from Steve LeFeminin. And if that is not a drag queen name for the ages, I don't know what is. But Steve LeFemin is director of Columbia Christians for Life. And he had himself a damn conniption over hanging a picture of women who are in the legislature in the Capitol. And he claimed that women is unfit for public office. Yet, no kidding. You can find the news story over at thestate.com. Yeah. the House committee that would make the decision is made up of 9 men and 1 woman. Steve LeFeminine went off for about 3 minutes before they shut him up, bless their hearts. But he'd already done his damage. He started passing out packets, you see. And it was you know, that kind of creepy-ass literature that these evangelicals always seem to have. He read aloud from an article called "The Feminism of the Mothers is the Destruction of the Daughters." And then he handed out anti-abortion posters and pamphlets. And as he began to get his stem winder wound and started to prattling on about the biblical doctrine of the headship of man disqualifies a woman from civil office, a fellow from a Democrat, they got some of those in South Carolina, not a lot of them, but they got some. A fellow by the name of Russell Ott, Representative Russell Ott, interrupted Steve LeFeminine, and he said, "I don't think this committee or the people behind you deserve to have to sit there and listen to that." And then Representative Ann Thayer, a Republican from Anderson, South Carolina, said, "We are heirs to the kingdom, and being heirs to the kingdom, that makes us all equal. Ladies, we can't let things like this stand in our way." I'm sure she'll be voting on an anti-abortion bill any minute. They had to have that big old debate, though, because there's a moratorium about 10 years old of putting additional monuments on the State House grounds. Because every time somebody, because if they hadn't put that moratorium in place, you wouldn't be able to get to the steps of the Capitol without having to climb over statues of fucking Confederate generals. They do have something called the Women's Rights and Empowerment Network in South Carolina. And they noted that having 4 women in the South Carolina Senate is the largest number of women who have ever been in the South Carolina Senate. And the chief executive of WREN, the Women's Rights and Empowerment Network, Ann Warner, said, "At the very least, we should honor the few but fierce women who have served at the State House with a composite photograph and hope this visual representation will inspire a new generation of girls to see themselves in these women and run for political office." We'll have to keep an ear out for Steve LeFeminine. The goddess of irony doesn't handle one of those just every day. Yeah, but that thing called the feminism of the mothers is the destruction of the daughters. Well, it's a screed about how awful abortion is and how terrible it is for a woman to divorce a guy who's beating the living hell out of her, and how sinful it is to take your baby to daycare, and how sinful it is for a woman to go to work, and how sinful it is for a woman to join the military, and then, of course, too, also, the Jezebels. How many feminist pro-aborts do you know who dress modestly? Women, according to Steve LeFeminine, are supposed to, quote, delight in being keepers at home. Wonder if he sent a letter to Mother Pence. You just can't make this stuff up. You can't. Randy, what you're talking about there is from the book of James. Randy in PA says, what's that quote from the Bible? Faith without works is dead. I think that's the verse you're looking for. So, you know, this is no shabby prayer meeting Wednesday. Later on, I mean, or right now, for that matter, if you want to talk about if you want to go put on the hip waders and jump into the Trumpian cesspool, well, we can. Because there's plenty of, to talk about. Precious Lindsay had a little something sort of blow up in his face. What's that note coming in from Ron in the frozen fucking north? Hey, by the way, what's with the Republican legislature members from Putnam County putting up legislation to give $10 million to old Tang's wall? I know, I can't. I just can't. The maggots are on the march. Of all the problems we have in West Virginia, some maggot members of the West Virginia legislature want to donate to the wall. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, Steve LeFeminine, one, piss on you for demeaning drag queens by comparing them to this asshole. Oh, that was directed at me. I do regret the error. Two, isn't it a form of gimmick infringement if you hand out chick tracks in the state legislature? I guess. The hearings continued in the Judiciary Committee today. President and CEO of NAACP, Derek Johnson, appeared before the panel to talk about William the Ringer Barr's views on race and discrimination, and he said they are singularly disqualifying. I guess, I've done it again. Question mark. That's just a question mark in the subject line. Matt in San Francisco says, Lindsay had something blow up in his face. I'm sure that happens a lot, and thank God you don't have video. Oh, words mean things. Yes, point taken, Matt, point taken. But NAACP President Derek Johnson described William Barr's views on race and discrimination as singularly disqualifying. And so Lindsay decided to go after him. Let's cut to the audio.
Colbert and Lynch. Do you think I made a good decision voting for them to be Attorney General?
I do.
Why?
I think their presentation before this committee was honest, direct, but more importantly, they committed to protect our democracy. For African Americans, protect the democracy is to also rigorously enforce efforts to ensure that all citizens can cast their ballot.
Right.
They committed to that, and they demonstrated that while they were in office.
Okay, and you believe Mr. Barr will not be committed to that?
Well, I have serious reservations and concern.
Okay.
Those concerns first start with this administration, their lack of enforcement of the Voting Rights Act.
How much of it is about this administration versus Mr. Barr?
In many ways, it's difficult to separate the two.
So, I just...
Uh-oh. NAACP President Johnson just said that the racism of one is the racism of the other. And that question, how much of this is about this administration versus how much is about Mr. Barr, that's a perfect answer. Because Barr has been selected to do the dirty work of, you know, the dirty racist work of Julius Geezer. Oh, yeah. So let's pick back up again. This may take a little bit, but this is not going to play well for the poor precious Lindsay. Oh, by the way, let's go a couple of emails before we do that. Cynthia asks, hey, Bob. Hi, Cynthia. What is the holier-than-thou Mother Pence going to teach? Art? Science class? Oh, and by the way, I'm transgender. Do you think they would let me in to take Mother Pence's classes? No? Good. Because if there were another planet I could go to where I could escape from these freaks, I'd be on the first ship out heading there. I'd be sorry to let everybody else here on Earth leave them alone to suffer with these idiot freaks. I understand, Cynthia. No, she's going to teach art. Lots of gory pictures of the crucifixion, I'm sure, and maybe little portraits of the holes in Jesus' hands. And you know, they get off on that kind of weird shit. They just do. Heather says, hi, just popping in the drinker in the Wally World parking lot. Donald made her do it. Can't say I blame her when I look at what the hell's going on. Agnes, you want to drink some... You want to drink some Boone's Farm in a Pringles can?
Oh, for the love of God, no. Boone's Farm? I haven't heard of that since the 80s.
Yeah, that's just that's just way too classy for us, isn't it?
Well, I mean, tickle me pink, you know. I knew the boys under the bridge. Because I testified to them.
Wait, was that Boone's Farm tickled pink or Annie Greenspring's tickled pink?
No, it was Boone's Farm tickled pink. Don't you remember?
Drank it through a straw?
I think they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I got called in off.
Ice, a little Sprite, make it.
Agnes, what are you doing tonight? I just figured I'd go get a public intox and come and talk to you. No, honey, no, leave it alone. Now you get it out of a box, Bob.
Or a can. Yep, even on Sunday, after one.
Well, makes the world a better place.
Marty says, greetings to the Lady Agnes.
Hello, Marty. I send hugs and love.
Yep. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Blood sugar was running a little low and had to have a little something to perk.
I'm your gopher, your personal assistant.
A little something to perk me up. Sorry about that. But let's go back to Lindsay. Do let's.
Tell them the truth, dear. We've got the flu.
No, we don't.
I just want to suggest something to you. There's a lot of concerns I had about the Obama administration. I will not bore you with my concerns. But I thought he chose wisely with Mr. Holder and Ms. Lynch because they have differences on policy than I, because I'm a Republican. But I thought they would be good stewards of the law and they would be fair arbiters of the being attorney general. It never crossed my mind that I would vote against them because I have policy disagreements. If that's going to be the new standard, none of us are going to vote for anybody on the other side. So thank you for your...
See, precious Lindsay wants a fucking cookie for having voted for a good nominee. But along the way, he also wants to... He wants the affirmation of an organization like the NAACP for voting for a guy who was literally the author of the mass incarceration policy that laid so much of the groundwork for the prison industrial complex that we now have that incarcerates fully one entire percent of the population of this country.
Input.
But if I may, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Going beyond policy disagreement, this nation have had a long history of discriminatory practices, particularly in the criminal justice system. And anytime we have a nominee to come before this committee who truly don't appreciate the disparities in the criminal justice system, as he stated yesterday, that goes beyond policy disagreement. That goes towards whether or not we understand that equal protection of the law should be afforded to all citizens.
Well, I want to make sure you understand what he said, because I remember Senator Booker asked him, and he says, yes, the crack cocaine sentences were disproportionate to the African-American individual, and that's why we changed the disparity between powder cocaine and crack cocaine. He acknowledged that, but in 1992, he thought the biggest victim of rampant violent crime were you know, low income, mostly minority communities. So I don't buy what you're saying about him not understanding their differences and how one group is affected, particularly in the drug arena. So I think what he was trying to do is talk about crime. But here's what's perplexing to me. The NAACP has been in the fight for social and racial justice for a very long time. And I don't know how we got here, but you do a scorecard every year. And in 2017, every Democrat got 100%. I got 22%. Grassley got 11. Cornyn got 11. Lee got 11. Cruz got 11. Sass got 6.
That's because you're a member of a racist party led by a racist president. And if you affirm, if you support racist policies and racist people, you get tainted by their racism. It's a little like Steve, it's a lot like Steve King. Steve King has been a goddamn racist since before he even entered the Congress. But now they've suddenly noticed that Steve King is a racist. It took him 16 years to do it, but they've noticed, and Steve King has basically pointed out and saying, you know, they're doing this for the optics. But then he went on and said, you know, privately, a lot of my colleagues are saying to me, we agree with you, Steve King, and I believe Steve King when he says that. Because I believe that a lot of Republicans are actually white supremacists, white nationalists, alt-white, Klan simps, neo-Nazi simps. I have no problem whatsoever crediting that idea, because there is far too goddamn much evidence out there that it's true. Think back to Rick Sanctum Sanctorum, Bro Fro Mix, saying that he didn't want money going to the blah people. Jesus Christ. Back to, but Lindsay doesn't understand this. Ted Cruz only got 11%, or and Precious Lindsay only got 22%. Well, go look at the shit you voted for that made that rating possible.
Ernst got 11, Kennedy got 17, Tillis got 11, and Crapo got 6. There's a disparity here. I'd hope you think that I'm, because I disagree with your scorecard rating, that I'm not a racist, and I certainly don't know how to close this gap.
So
I'd like to.
Right. So the NAACP, we're a nonpartisan organization. Our scorecard is not based on political parties. Our scorecard is based on our agenda.
Well, how do you explain the differences?
If you allow me, our agenda is set by the delegates from across the country. And we're very clear that discrimination should not be a part of
any agenda. How many of them are
Republicans? Excuse me?
How many of them are Republicans?
We don't determine how many members are Republicans. We have Republicans among our membership on our national board.
I don't want to.
But if you allow me to explain
the report card,
right? And so we establish our agenda not based on political parties, because we understand that political parties are nothing more than vehicles for agendas. And as many African Americans were members of the Republican parties before the 1965 Voting Rights Act, many African Americans may decide their agenda based on the party's platform. And if party platforms align with the needs and interests of our communities, then they would vote for a platform that support their needs, whether it's access to quality public education, ensuring that all African Americans and Americans can cast a fair ballot, fair housing policies, making sure we have true tests to determine disparate impact. Those are the issues we are concerned about. Those are not issues, those are policy issues. And individuals who run under party labels, right, they decide based on the platform that they believe, mm-hmm, which party label they run under. We don't make partisan decisions. We make policy decisions, and it's informed by members across the country. Some are Democrats, are Libertarians, some are Republicans.
You may not think that you're making, that your agenda is party neutral.
Oh, wait. is Lindsay actually got? Yes, Lindsay is. Lindsay is actually gonna short little white guy splain to the president of the NAACP. Man, that takes some chutzpah. You may not think, but Matt in San Francisco, subject line, racists. Lindsay, so just because I'm a racist piece of shit, you score me an 11? Well, fiddle me do. Where's my mint julep? I wish John was still here. Hold me, John!
All I can tell you is somebody wants to solve problems. It's pretty odd to me that every Democrat gets 100%, and I do the best as a Republican getting 22. Maybe the problem's all on our side. I don't think so.
Well, then you're not going to solve the problem because the problem is all on your side. There's no exalted cyclops from the Klan sitting on the NAACP board. But you, precious Lindsay, and your traitorous goddamn president, you, precious Lindsay, with all of that laundered NRA money sitting in your war chest, you, precious Lindsay, are part of a party that cannot win without the vote of white fucking supremacists. Plain and simple.
I think the agenda that you're pursuing in the eyes of conservatives is not as good for the country as you think it is. It's got nothing to do about Republican and Democrat, it's more it has to do about liberal and conservative.
Bullshit. The shutdown that Lindsay fully supports right here, right now, is going to have a disparate and disproportionate, wildly disproportionate impact on poor people of color. People who work in government who aren't getting paid. People who are contractors for companies that contract with the government who aren't getting paid and who won't get paid even when the government restarts. They won't get back pay. People who will be thrown out of their homes because HUD payments aren't being made to the landlords and landlords are sending out letters saying during the shutdown, you are responsible for the entirety of the rent, which of course is wildly inflated so as to take greater advantage of the government's payments.
You got to ask yourself, why does every conservative on this committee, the best I can do is to get 22?
Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think it's a different question. I think the members of the Republican Party should ask yourselves, are you willing to be expansive enough to and inclusive
That's
to ensure
question.
The rights of individuals, despite their racial background, their interests are met, not based on conservative or liberal tendencies, but based on those individuals' needs and
Fair
the
enough.
Interests that they advocate for.
Will you ask
for?
Yourselves why I can't get better than 22% from conservatives?
Yeah, sure. We can go down each
Fair
one of
enough.
The policy agendas, and we can go through each
yeah.
one of them, and
Mr.
we can make
Chairman,
a determination.
Let me. I want to.
That's a good discussion.
I want to
yes,
sharpen this discussion because yeah. I think it's an important discussion, and give you what concerns me when it comes to this entire discussion. This is about whether the nominee is going.
We have now moved to Mark Morial from the National Urban League, who is also not having any of Precious Lindsay's shit. As Matt in San Francisco points out, missed it by that much. That was almost a light bulb moment for Lindsay. Tough to see the light when you're white-splaining to the head of the NAACP. They must have opened the double doors in order for Lindsay to get those huge balls through the doorway. I know.
Going to aggressively, faithfully, enforce the civil rights laws. And let me give you a couple of facts.
Can I ask you one question? You can give me all the facts you want.
Yeah.
Name one Republican that you would support.
I'm not here to talk about Republicans and Democrats. I supported him when he was a Democrat.
I just can't think of a better person to pick than Mr. Barr if you're a Republican. So I don't know who's going to do better than him in terms of experience, judgment, and temperament. So if this guy doesn't cut it, I'm at a loss of who we can pick.
Well, but
and once again, that's on Republicans. If William Barr is the best they've got, they ain't got much. The guy professed he actually doesn't even know what the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution says. That happened yesterday. And then that happens even though his Justice Department is defending three Emoluments Clause lawsuits that are going forward. As our buddy Hung Like Jesus says, Lindsey needs to stop acting like he gives a damn about what black people think. Well, I think he's made it abundantly clear in this line of inquiry that he doesn't. Here, let me white-splain to you for a minute, bub. As far as I'm concerned, it's a miracle Lindsey didn't refer to these gentlemen as boy or uncle. Because that is the Republican Party. He went on, Barr went on yesterday to explain to Mazie Hirono that he doesn't really know whether birthright citizenship, what it's all about. When in fact, as we've discussed on this program, the word birthright citizenship does not appear in the Constitution. Just the word citizenship. Just the word citizens. But that whole 14th Amendment thing probably never much mattered to a William Barr. Because in Republican world, constitutional provisions are only helpful if they advance Republican ideas. Otherwise, they are to be ignored and or trampled. Because that's how Republicans roll.
Let me make my point because I want the committee to be extremely clear on this, and I want to cite two examples. Attorney General Sessions, and we have to talk about his record because the question for us is whether Mr. Barr is going to continue the policies of Attorney General Sessions when it comes to enforcing civil rights laws. In two instances, Attorney General Sessions, in his first days and months in office, had the Justice Department change sides in the middle of an important civil rights case.
Elections matter.
Texas, but Senator, the enforcement of the law does not. The enforcement of civil rights laws is neutral when it comes to elections. So what Attorney General Sessions had the Justice Department do is switch in a Texas voter ID law after the judge had made a finding, preliminary finding, that the Texas voter ID law was discriminatory. You know what it would be an example of? If Drew Brees or Tom Brady, after leading his team to a lead, went in at halftime and came out with the jersey of the other team on. In the middle of the case, secondly, in the Ohio voter purge case, the same thing occurs. Why did the Justice Department, without any discussion with the Congress, any discussion with the civil rights community, switch sides miraculously and immediately? That should not have anything to do with who wins an election.
I will say this. I could have given you 100 examples of where Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch had a different view of a statute or a policy than I did. But if you don't expect elections to matter, that's a mistake. The policy differences we have are real. To expect Trump to win and everything Obama did stay the same is unrealistic. All I'm asking is that let's look at qualifications, because a Democrat will win one day and they will nominate somebody with a completely different policy view than I have. It will be a very simple decision. If I can find a difference, I'll vote no. The question I'm trying to ask the country is, do you expect quality people to be chosen by the other side who has differences with you? If the answer is yes, then Mr. Barr is as good as it will get.
Well, you know, Senator,
and again,
lots of us thought...
And again, if that's the case, then the then they have scraped the bottom of the barrel, and they're coming up with a sad green mixture of pickle funk and wood shavings if Barr is the best you can get. But like I said, you can tell, this didn't go well because Precious Lindsay got himself sent to school. But make no mistake, William Barr is going to be the next Attorney General of the United States. And then he will provide cover for whatever it is that Julius Geiser, the traitor to his country, seeks to do. Oh, and by the way, the maggots are having a big, big sad today because, well, what it boils down to is Nancy Pelosi knows the rules of the House. And among other things, the president can't just march his happy ass into the House and give a speech. And the House is where the State of the Union takes place. And so she sent a letter today to Trump telling him to either postpone the State of the Union or deliver it in written form, because during the shutdown, the House was not going to invite him to address a joint session of Congress in its chamber. And if you listened very closely, you could probably hear the butthurt shrieking of the maggots from wherever you were, including in orbit around the planet. We are very near to done with the second hour of the program. And thanks again to John for putting a humongous challenge on the table. And thanks to Darlene for meeting it. We have $205 to go to finish fundraising and bring us even to the end of this program. If we could knock that out, it would be tremendously helpful. So that $205 remains. And again, thank you to John and Darlene of the Sorority of Leans and the Queen Tracy's Rocks, the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Couple of notes before I go over to the phone. Yes, Kitty in Boston pointing out, Precious Lindsey Graham, Klansplainer in chief. Monique says, know how to deal with Lindsey and the Republicans' ilk? Look bored, let them ramble, pause, and then we keep moving forward. Lead follower, get out of the way. Exactly. They need to get out of the way. Lee in New York, subject line, Republican problem. It is completely unsurprising that Graham believes that he is right and that the people he likes are right. It is a natural blindness people have. That is why people need feedback. I can think of myself as young, rich, and handsome. Feedback will push against those false ideas. Lindsey Graham is rejecting the feedback. Duh. Thanks, Lee. Ron and Raleigh, not going to happen. You could ask every member of the Republican Party in the House and Senate, are you a racist? And everyone, including Steve King, would deny they're racist or even prejudiced against people who aren't white. And then they would prove that they were lying by their actions. Meanwhile, Todd says, subject line, bar-bar. Bar-bar, get it? B-A-R-B-A-R-R. Lindsay just said, what do you coloreds expect of us? Go to see what is happening now. Yep, right. And Lee then points out, the best you can do, following the Graham crackered up standard, If you want to choose a Supreme Court justice from the people involved in Watergate, well, Robert Bork is the best you can do. Onique says Barr going to get confirmed. This is a circus, and they hate black people that run circles around them in any way imaginable. That's what the GOP is. Precisely. Well, it's been a while since we have heard from Ron in the far frozen north. The really, really frozen north. How are you, Ron? Staying warm?
Can you hear me?
I hear you great. Fantastic.
I lost a Sennheiser headphones. Apparently they were stepped on.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. But I'm thriving up here, actually. I'm surrounded by the warmth and good intentions of millions of people determined not to be Americans. Life's not bad at all.
Downright civilized. I mean, it's so civilized up there that Rand Paul and that thing on his head are going to come up and have some surgery.
Oh, God. The goddess of irony. Yeah.
She put in overtime on that one.
It is one of the absolute world class hernia fixing places in the world, so I can understand why he would come, but he will pay through the nose.
Said $5,000 to $8,000.
Nah, he's a foreigner. It's going to be a hell of a lot more than that.
Well, that's interesting because that was actually something that was published in his pleadings in his court case against the guy who got sick of his shit and kicked the shit out of that little weasel.
No, he's going to pay full going rate, which will be I've seen some reports up here somewhere between $50,000 to $70,000.
Nice.
Oh,
except for the fact that they're going to pin it on the dude who kicked the living shit out of him, Rand Paul, having richly deserved same.
You know, I think one of the biggest temptations in life would be living next to Rand Paul and not throttling that bastard every morning.
Or just taking that thing off his head and not giving it back.
Or going around the neighborhood and vacuuming up all the dog shit from the people that don't pick up after their dogs and then blowing it onto his lawn.
By God, you're a creative soul, Ron.
Well, Kelly trained me. That's all you need to know.
You know what? I'm willing to credit that.
But getting back to the initial story point, yeah, it's kind of cool up here. If I had a pool table, I'd be insulating the pockets right now.
Anything that can just fill up any dead air space there is, right?
Yeah. Went into work this morning. It was about 30 degrees Fahrenheit. It's getting harder every year to get back into Fahrenheit, but it was about 30 and sort of semi-sunshine, semi-clouds. And then about 10 o'clock, a couple of squalls, lake effect squalls came through, and you couldn't see to the other side of the road. The wind went from zip to 50 or 60 miles an hour. Flags are being shredded all over the city. And you couldn't see anything. And then, boom, 10 minutes later, it's sunny again. And down into the teens. And when I left work this afternoon, it was somewhere around 2 degrees Fahrenheit. It's supposed to get down to about minus 10, minus 12 tonight. And feel colder because the wind hasn't let up. And we had a half an inch of snow in all of that. And I came home and I've got 2-foot drifts in my driveway.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
So did you just plow through them? You know, in
absolutely.
In that great big Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck that's jacked about 15 feet up off the ground that you got?
No, I don't have one of those. I got a little German machine, but it's every bit as good. Put a plow on the front of that thing, I could clear driveways. In any event.
But y'all also make a decided effort to keep the roads clear up there. I mean, you've still got civil society, right?
Yeah. Ottawa has about 1 million people. It's a fairly large municipality, but they have a commitment that all the main roads will be cleared by 7 a.m., unless a major storm comes through at 4 a.m. But within 12 hours of a storm coming through, all the main roads will be cleared. Within 24, all the feeder streets and side streets will be cleared. And all of the people that do private service for cleaning driveways, as yours truly faithfully subscribes to, because it's wonderful, they not only come through and clear your driveway, but they're tied into the same radio network as the snow removal people. And they come down your street 10 minutes after the plow's gone through and left that 18-inch high hump that's 4 feet wide of icy crap at the end of your driveway, and they clear it all out. So all I have to do is clear out the space on my sidewalk and between my vehicles, and I'm good to go. It works fine. And there's 800 pieces of equipment for the city that does that. And I think they've got a $55 million snow removal budget. So that's what socialist taxes are for. Helping the little guy.
Yeah, sure, you talk like that, but we all know you don't have any freedom up there.
What kind of freedom would you like to talk about, Bob?
Well, whatever it is, you ain't got any of it because you got socialism.
All I'll say is I've lived here for 45 years, and I got to be honestly truthful. I can't imagine what it would take to get me to move back to the States. I mean, I've got health care. Yeah, I pay for it, but that's fine. I've got a wonderful school system, which pretty much guarantees the next generation of folks coming up to be my government aren't stupid. I've got
freedom. Boy, that train left the station a long time ago in this country.
Yeah. I grew up in West Virginia, Bob. I've got little Canadian flags that you can put on your backpacks or your briefcase and go anywhere in the world and have people come up and talk to you and ask you what's going to be involved if they want to immigrate to Canada, even in the sandbox. And I got a pretty good assurance that my military up here that's protecting us from the whatever threats they're protecting us from are nowhere near the level of lethality that the U.S. military have. So nobody's afraid of us. All they need to know is we will really fight to defend the country. And the military is, one-fifth, one-twentieth of the U.S., but we're still sending people to Afghanistan and Bosnia and places like that and Sudan and Somalia.
Trying to keep the peace.
Yeah. And we're a country that's gradually come to understand the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking, which is a big distinction.
Oh, you can drive a truck between those two.
Yeah. And Lester B. Pearson, Nobel Prize notwithstanding, is turning over in his grave right now over the fact that we've got people in, still a few people in Afghanistan and a lot of other places. But generally speaking, the military, it's not a big role. budget, borders, not a big role. We don't worry that much. We've taken in probably 50 times the number of Syrian refugees as the U.S. And country hasn't fallen apart to my...
No, tell me more about the young woman that y'all admitted from Thailand. I mean, she wasn't Thai. She was Saudi, right?
She was a Saudi. And the important note there is, and this is a two-parter. I'm going to get back to China in a moment. It's related. The two-parter is, we've been in a little bit of a pee-for-distance contest with the Saudis for several months because we dared to criticize their human rights record.
And the person who did the daring to criticize was one of those women people.
Yeah, and short, too.
And the noble, serene, high, majestic graciousness of the Royal House of Ibn Saud does not take too kindly to being dressed down by no women folk.
Nope.
Because it's not how Allah would want things to be.
Allah must have been a horny bastard.
Well, you know, all those manifestations of the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, it pretty much creeped me out.
Yeah. So, we've been, I think it not only was a humanitarian thing, but it also served as a bit of a, hello, we're still here, we're still doing our thing for Canada as far as Saudi was concerned. But at the same time, Canada arrested or detained, I should say, a lady from China. Has this story made the news in the U.S. at all?
Oh, yeah. The one who was sort of dummy. There was a warrant for her out of the United States, and they snagged her in Vancouver. Meng is her name, M-E-N-G.
She's the daughter of a guy who founded a company called Huawei. They are the biggest telecom manufacturer now in the world.
Yeah, this is the company whose phones all have back doors to which the People's Republic of China have the key.
That's a theory, Bob. I won't acknowledge that one way or the other.
Well, I know that it is absolutely verboten for members of the United States military to have a Huawei phone.
And I don't know of any Canadian government official who has one. But that being said, we detained her on a U.S. warrant. And since then, we've had two prominent Canadian business people detained in China on various charges. And a Canadian who had been arrested and sentenced to 15 years for importing drugs into China.
By drugs, we mean meth.
Yeah.
I mean, hard cases make bad law. But, yeah, they gave him 15 years. And then after Meng the Merciless got arrested, I'm sorry, old Flash Gordon fan.
Speaking of which, a momentary diversion. Don't you love the new SpaceX Starship?
Oh, that's something special.
Oh. Anyway, back to the story.
She gets arrested, and then appealing the verdict, the Canadian citizen busted for the meth, and it was a lot of meth, Ron. It really was. A whole lot of meth.
He deserved it.
But they said, nope. Turns out our sentence was far too lenient. We want to kill you instead.
Yep.
And that's kind of where the case stands now, isn't it?
It's exactly where it stands. And the little lady who's somewhat taller than a fire hydrant, who is our equivalent of Secretary of State, is appalled. But he's a bargaining chip.
Sure he is.
And by the way, he didn't get a choice as to whether his sentence would be appealed.
No, they appealed it for him.
Yeah, that decision was made for him. It was, he didn't get his option of saying, okay, I'll take that.
Hey, 15 years sounds great to me. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, right.
Now, he wanted to 15 years from now to return to ice and snow and frozen isolation. But I don't think he'll get the choice.
So does Canada have any economic leverage that they can bring to bear on this? does the Canadian market mean anything to China?
No. We do. They do have two or three Chinese companies that own a fair whack of natural resources, coal and oil, mostly tar sands, in Western Canada. But it's a small percentage of what they would import, so I don't know how much leverage it would provide. We do have a fair portion of the lobster and cod and tuna market that gets exported to China, but that's for the, you know, that 0.01% of the ruling class. So no, I don't think so. And we have all the weather from Upper Mongolia, which they already get. So I don't think that's a bargaining chip either.
No. It sounds like it would have to be solved diplomatically. But Ms. Meng is not in the custody. Has she been extradited to the United States? I'm not sure on that point.
No. She's been released on indeterminate bail. She's still living in one of her three houses in Vancouver. And her father, the purported puppet of the Chinese government, issued a statement today praising the Canadian government for their humanitarian treatment of his daughter. So there are wrinkles in all of this.
Curiously, she has not been spontaneously appealed and sentenced to death by the Canadians.
No, not at all. So it's fascinating to watch. I mean, I'm sort of feeling like Finland between Russia and Europe, you know?
Yeah. But that, if you're going to feel like somebody, that's good to, because they kicked the living shit out of the Russians, the Finns did.
They did. All dressed in those cute little white suits.
Mm-hmm. That blend so well with all that white snow.
Yeah. Can we digress for a moment?
We can digress to your heart's content, Ron. Wait, before you digress, I'm going to digress first because I've got a note for you from your member of the fraternity of Ron's in Raleigh.
Yay, verily.
It's a piece of tech advice. Forget about the Sennheisers and pick up a pair of Grados, Grados. They're handmade. You can drop some serious coin on them, but I'll bet Ron will be able to find a set in his price range. Grados, Grados.
I spend a lot of time doing things by hand. I'll take that into account.
I mean, you pour your sacramental bourbon by hand?
No, I just spend a lot of time in the Navy.
Ah. He'll be here all night.
Was that a mic drop I just heard?
No, that was a cheap rim shot.
Now, I wanted to talk about the, I think, fraternally related assholes in Putnam County that were thrown $10 million of West Virginia taxpayers' money.
I know. Doesn't that just beat cat fucking? They want to use $10 million of West Virginia taxpayer money and give it to Julius Geezer.
Yep.
When we don't have anything remotely resembling everything this state needs. They can't sort out a way to let sick people access medical cannabis in this state, but they got $10 million laying around to give to a grifter.
I mean, the number I saw was the state surplus was, what, $120 million or more?
Yeah. Rainy day fund included, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's
but that's, that surplus exists because of stuff that has already been cut. You know what I mean?
But let's cut to logistics. Let's say they decide to do this. There is no legal mechanism for a state or an individual or a corporation to transfer money to the United States directed towards a specific purpose. Period. It goes into general revenue. So what's this supposed to do?
As far as I can tell, make all the little maggots jump up and down and clap and talk about Jesus and how Jesus hates the brown people. I mean, I don't have much outside of that because there isn't much outside of that. It's just a simple appeal to racism and bigotry.
This from a state where a convict outpolled Obama.
Absolutely true.
Did I mention the part where I'm really happy? Even though I'm getting my nuts frozen off, I'm really happy to be living here.
Yes, you did. To the point of, I would say, rubbing it in. I meanwhile, have I mentioned that this is pure, unmitigated madness? Everything. I mean, what is it like, Ron, just to sit and watch your native country degenerate into pure dystopian chaos?
There but for the grace of God go I. Is that too profound?
No. Let's see. And by the way, the people behind this numbnuts scheme, delegates Caleb Hanna, Patrick Martin, and Carl Robbie Martin, announced yesterday their plan to introduce a bill that would divert $10 million from the state's current surplus to hit President Donald Trump build a wall along the southern U.S. border. I mean, we know I have ciphering problems, right, Ron?
Yeah, nope.
I mean, I do. I got ciphering problems. But I do know that $10 million does not even make a drop in the bucket as compared to the $5.8 billion he's holding the country hostage for, let alone the $30 billion it's going to take to build this boondoggle over the next 10 years, and the several billions of dollars it'll take to maintain the boondoggle every year thereafter.
First of all, the $10 million only has two commas in it. The number that Dipstick's looking for has got three commas. We're talking to be really effective over 10 years, something that's got four commas. And order of magnitude is not something that generally you raise in conversation with anybody other than engineers or mathematicians, but it's a big goddamn number.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And I was reading something today from another source who shall remain nameless, who was talking about the emerging market for trebuchets and catapults in Mexico. Think about this. We got a wall.
Pull.
Use a trebuchet to fire 100 kilos of marijuana 2.5 miles into Arizona? What's the wall going to do?
Sit there like a wall.
A wall.
Well, I want to back up to the $10 million for a minute because Some of these details are worth mentioning. Here's the poll quote. Delegate Carl Martin said, "West Virginians support our president and the law. They're sick of seeing Washington politicians sit on their hands while drugs and criminals pour over our border. It's time for the states to stand up and do what they can to support our president in his fight to protect innocent Americans." Pouring over the border.
Pour.
And yet the pouring was taking place during the 2 years in which the Republicans had both houses of Congress, Ron. The pouring.
Well, I'd venture to say the pouring, P-O-O-R-I-N, started from day one when they had a majority.
But, I mean, so why did the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Republicans ignore all that pouring? Were they sitting on their hands, too?
Oh, yeah. God hadn't spoken to them, Bob.
But the other thing is there's a new celebrity who emerges out of this story, and this is important, because they've already had him over to the Fox News TV radio Rwanda, and that is Caleb Hanna. He is the youngest African-American man ever elected to a legislature in the whole new 90 states of America. He's 19 years old. He replaced a Democrat incumbent, and he said, "I believe in President Trump and the wall. For me, this is no different than sending our National Guard to the border or overseas to protect U.S. interests. We as a state have resources available to help make America more secure, and I believe West Virginians would want those resources used to make us more safe." Oh, he's on his way to a career.
Yeah, I don't want to disparage a 19-year-old, but at his age, I knew I'm going mathematical and geek here on you, but I knew the square root of sweet fuck all about how things actually happened. And I'm pretty sure he's due to have a period of enlightenment at some point.
Well, it looks to me like he's already gotten enlightened enough to realize that he can turn this into a real gravy train.
Oh yeah, can't fault him for that.
But Jesus Christ, $10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's orders of magnitude less than anything that would do any good. But I think you'll acknowledge, Ron, that in a state like West Virginia, $10 million, it could do some good.
That's real money. We could put that into teachers' salaries.
And exactly what I thought. Because our teachers are still vastly underpaid.
What are we, 48th or 49th now?
Thank God for Mississippi. I think that's the number we are.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous. I mean, just using it, we got $120 million so-called budget surplus that could go into, say, supporting EBT and SNAP, or how about making sure that people who need Medicaid get to stay on Medicaid,
or environmental services.
Yeah, there's that. Of course, we know that that's the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting's pretty much a joke. But then while we're talking about tax revenues in West Virginia, because, again, you may live in a freezing place, but it's a freezing place where a fella can go and, go down to the cannabis store and buy up some bud and just sit back and watch the snowfall. And hope the munchies don't kick in before the pizza driver gets buried in a snowdrift.
The key word there in freezing, Bob, is free.
There we go. We can't even unfuck our medical marijuana bill. The Democrats are trying, but the Baptists are trying too. And they want to make sure that West Virginians get to suffer just like their dear Jesus.
Oh, the Baptist.
Let's see. Estimated $45 million tax revenues upon full implementation of a recreational cannabis law.
Yep, saw that.
What else? Yes.
What's that sound, Bob?
You know, I'm wondering. That sounds like running water of some sort.
Not from... Where's Agnes?
Not in the room.
I've got nothing from this end. Is she pouring water into your mic?
Dude, that's not me.
It's not me.
It has to be.
Fred. Fred.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, I muted you for a minute and it went away. Ah. Yeah.
That's bizarre. So. Fred.
Agent Fred, yeah, stop that, you big kidder,
this
you.
May be one of the strangest moments of any call I've ever had.
You know, it's winter. I mean, at least that means whatever it is ain't frozen.
Now, I'm going to go back. That was my remote, by the way, falling off the arm of the Lazy Boy. I'm going to go pull up an excerpt of this tomorrow and give it to some of my pencil neck geeks and see if they can give me any insight on what might have caused that.
You know, I was guessing, but I didn't want to ask anything.
What were you guessing, Bob?
Oh, I don't, you know, don't put me in that position. Not that I was just, you know, hoping.
That's the same. I thought maybe.
I was just hoping your prostate was okay. Okay, I mean, you know.
Bob didn't take a break, so maybe Bob just took his wireless mic and wandered off somewhere.
No, Bob didn't. Bob didn't.
And Ron didn't. Well, I'll let my geeks work on it over the next couple of days and see if they can give me any input.
Well, by the way, do please tell me, you know, the old Weller never made it to our local wine and spirits retailer.
Really?
Nope, never made it.
Damn.
So is your stock holding up?
Yep, I'm doing fine. At the moment, I'm working on a bottle of Blanton's that was given to me.
Never a bad choice.
No. And I needed the yo from the little jockey. You know about that?
Yeah, the what from the little...
Every bottle of Blanton's, a little horse on the top of the bottle.
Right, yeah.
Has a little label, has a little letter on the bottom. And if you collect them, you'll notice that eventually you can spell out Blanton's.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Got to buy a minimum of 8 bottles of Blanton's to get it.
Yeah, because there's 8 letters in Blanton's.
Yeah, the O is hard to find, believe it or not.
Oh, there had to be a catch. Yeah, of course.
It's a vowel, but I'm working on my third set.
Wow.
Over 30 years. So, in any event, tonight,
that's about one set every 10 years, then, according to my calculations.
About that. And certainly more than 8 bottles over every 10 years, because it's a good whiskey.
Oh, it's very good. Very expensive. Well, I mean,
what's it cost in West Virginia?
Yeah, it's north of $60.
Really?
Yeah.
I could buy here for 60 in Canadian dollars.
Yeah, I don't know. It's They marked the hell out of it, as far as, yeah, because even back in my bourbon days, I couldn't buy it very often. That's one of those Mayella Yule save nickels for a slap year kind of thing.
Insider's advice, good old Buffalo Trace is 95% Blanton's.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really get to do that anymore, but well, I have fond memories.
Yeah. But if the occasion comes for an occasional sip, Buffalo Trace is not bad. It's really close, genealogically equivalent to West Virginia family heritage to Buffalo Trace.
As between the two, Buffalo Trace versus Bullet, your choice.
Buffalo Trace. I don't know what the prices are in West Virginia, but Trace is just a little bit smoother. And they're made in the same place, I think.
Indiana?
No. Kentucky, Frankfort.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of really good small distilleries in Kentucky. Speaking of which, have you ever had anything from Smooth Ambler?
Oh, yeah. You know, they got bought recently.
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess their
thing is, as far as I can tell, but
they've still got the old Scout. They had a really good gin, but they gave up on that.
Yep.
And I just looked at the bottle the other day. There's a new vodka out called Endless Wall from a distillery in, of all places, Harrisville, West Virginia.
Really?
And it's made entirely from corn.
Ooh. As opposed to potatoes.
Well, or grain neutral spirits, you know, yeah. Rice, wheat. Yeah.
Yeah, vodka's one of those things that apparently you can make it from rocks in the road.
Pretty much. But, and it all winds up tasting pretty much the same. By the way, Steve from Georgia Stan says you can't top Jefferson's Ocean for my taste buds. Have you had Jefferson's Ocean?
I have. Twice, and both times I looked for a place to buy it and couldn't find one. But it's in there in the memory banks. At a certain point, though, you get at the end of the day when you come home. You want to have a good bourbon. There's a plethora of good bourbons to choose from, and you can determine how much you want to spend on them, but very few of them are going to be bad, with the exception of, Jack Daniels and a few others. The ones that you drank in the back seat of a 57 Chevy.
Yeah, and thought you were somebody.
Oh. Yeah. Most of the bourbon that survives now is decent. There's not that many really bad ones to pick from anymore.
Old Granddad, nah. Four Roses, is respectable.
Let me hold you.
Kentucky
right there.
Gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Virginia Gentleman.
If you get a Granddad 101. Now, they are wonderful.
I saw a Granddad 114.
Grab it.
Really?
Yes. The upper proofs on Granddad are really good now. Granddad was great in the late 60s, early 70s. Then it went downhill for 25 years. In the last 10, 12 years, they've really tried to bring it back up, and some of their higher proof vintages are really exceptional.
Well,
and
now,
not expensive because they haven't built their brand back up yet.
I'll be darned, because I think this stuff was like, the 114 was like $38.
Grab it.
There was one bottle left.
And Turkey 101.
Ah, see, no, I'll part company with you on Wild Turkey.
No, Turkey 101 has come back to what it used to be.
When was the used to?
Late 80s.
Because I have never been a fan. I mean, there was a time when I was like, ooh, I got me some Wild Turkey 101. Woo! But it's really hot. You know, that bourbon hot.
I know it's, but that's a rye taste that gives it the hot.
Is that what it is?
Turkey 101 now is pretty damn decent. Put a couple of cubes in a glass, let it sit for about a minute. Give it a sip, see what you try. It's not expensive, but it's a really good bourbon for the price.
Todd down in South Carolina, Stan, is agreeing with you. Old granddad, yep, Ron is right.
Well, by God, there you go.
So
I don't know how often Todd and I have agreed on things, but we're at least one for one.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot of distance between y'all on such like. Yeah, by the way, Darlene in Connecticut said, seriously, it sounded like Agent Fred was taking a leak. So.
Yeah, I'm sitting here, the good old lazy boy is cushioning my ass, and I'm listening to water.
Well, I'm beginning to wonder if something's going pear-shaped in your house there, because when I muted you, it went away.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sitting here with nothing but me and my fireplace and the TV on mute.
Lee in New York says that was the sound of trickle down economics. It's real.
Perfect.
Let's see what else. And I now have a link, and I will be sending it to you, courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. Here's the link: Grado Labs, GRADOLABS.com. Grado Labs.
So is Ron saying that my Apple mics aren't working all that well?
No. He's got an audiophile streak, and he knows you appreciate the finer things in life.
He's going to be really pissed. He found out I recently sold off two Macintosh tube amps to a guy in Florida.
Whoa, what?
Whose sole mission was to use them as the back channels, as mono power amps for his home theater.
Whoa. Okay, we've got another bourbon question coming in, since you're now the resident bourbon expert.
Ooh.
Russell's Reserve. Now, it's made by Wild Turkey. Any thoughts?
If it's a reasonable price, buy it. I wouldn't pay any more for that than I would for Knob Creek.
Okay. Where is it relative to, say, Booker's?
Below.
Below Booker's?
Slightly, yeah. There's so many really top-notch.
Well, Steve says, right. I have a bottle of it, but when I discovered it was made by Wild Turkey, I shelved it.
Well, shelving it didn't hurt, but it didn't make it any better. That's a whiskey that needs the air for... put it in a pear-shaped glass and let it air for at least a minute, if not two. And a splash of water, that would hurt. So enjoy it. It's a good whiskey. It's a solid whiskey.
By the way, you're getting some amens. Les just chimed in and said, the bird is the word, especially the Wild Turkey Rare Breed 116.
Perfect. Yeah, good whiskey. Needs some kind of liquid enhancement. Let it air It's beautiful. Eagle Rare is the same way.
You've made a study of this.
Son, I've given my liver to this. indiscreet doses with time in between to recover. But I just love all the subtleties that go into a good bourbon.
Well, see, that's the difference between... I was thinking about the other day. In the British Isles, the Irish make whiskey, the Scots make whiskey.
Yep.
The English make gin. Have I got it?
Yeah. I mean, you just encapsulated Brexit right there, Bob.
Speaking of which, you having opened that door, that's going to be a hot mess now, isn't it?
Oh, it's been a hot mess for a while.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's getting hotter.
Yeah, but it's like Theresa May and crew are wandering down a dark alley that's getting narrower, and there's no light at the other end.
Well, but I mean, what the... I saw one commentator explaining what would happen within minutes of it of Brexit taking effect.
Yep.
And it sounded downright apocalyptic.
It did. And the pound's going to go in the toilet. The border's going to come back between Northern and Southern Ireland. Between Northern Ireland and Ireland, I should say. The Scots are going to be pissed off. The last time the Brits really pissed the Scots off, it cost them a lot. Because
which time?
The Scots don't care if they lose, but by God, you're going to pay. So,
well, that's why they're Scots.
Yeah, and diplomacy doesn't matter that much. They're Scots. And
is this a private fight, or can anybody join in? Right.
Well, if the Scots would tell you it's private, get the fuck out of Dodge.
But you've got British expats living abroad in Europe who are going to become persona non grata, essentially. Yep. And the same thing's going to happen to the EU people who are living in Great Britain. Ports are going to close. Imports of foodstuffs are going to... And can nobody pull back from the brink on this, Ron? You know, we were very drunk at the time. We've sobered up, and we'd like to vote on this again. What do you say?
The only thing I can see happening, the best thing, is nothing happens. So Brexit doesn't happen. The existing agreements stay in place. And then maybe the Brits decide to hold a second referendum and pull back from it. But unless the British physically actually pull out, all the existing agreements stay in place. I mean, nobody in the European Union has said, if Britain doesn't agree to this or agree to a new treaty, we're going to change the way we deal with them. I haven't seen anything like that. Have you?
No, but I don't. But some of this shit happens automatically, doesn't it?
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, for instance, a hard border between Northern Ireland and Ireland
doesn't exist until Britain agrees to the new quasi-negotiated agreement that May was trying to sell. Until that happens, everything remains status quo.
But why not just put up another referendum real quick and say, hey, let's don't do this?
Bob, these are politicians.
Well, they don't appear to be very good at it, Ron.
Well,
I mean, granted, I think your Brexiter and your maggot is probably a similarly situated political animal. But the other part of it is that we know, I mean, hell, the British have been better about this than we have. They know that Vlad Putin was at play inside that referendum. So What's the problem with saying, hey, this thing was flawed, this thing was rigged, it was dummied up, and we're going to do it again and try to have it clean this time? Now that people understand what Brexit actually means, that it wasn't just a temper tantrum that they could throw and feel good about it and wave the Union Jack about some and then go on with life as normal. Because they're not going to like it when the pound is no longer sound.
Agreed, but did I ever mention to you my grandmother's operating axiom, which was we were put on this earth to be tried?
Oh, yeah. That's parallel to God made West Virginia to train the faithful.
Yeah. I would like to think, in the absence of real data, a caveat up front, I would like to think that they get another referendum and they vote no to Brexit, and the British are given an opportunity to go, oh, okay, we screwed that up. But I'm not sure they're going to get one.
Well, if they don't, trouble coming. Oh, by the way, Irish Dave wanted to get a word in.
On whiskey?
No. Well, why do you guys hate rum? The official drink of the U.S. Army Signal Corps and field grade officers has the Bacardi 151.
Oh, God, don't talk to me about Ronrico 151.
Or Bacardi 151, or...
I have several still fresh in my mind experiences.
Unpleasant, I trust.
About the evil impact of that devil's brew. Made by Satan to lead me into the ways of temptation.
And unrighteousness.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that almost every time before I hit unrighteousness, I passed out.
By the way, you've got a note from your fellow Ron in Raleigh. What's he using for amplification? I'm guessing Ron's not drinking any Old Crow or Old Forester. Seriously, does he get Woodford Reserve in the far frozen north? And then Max for the rear channel of a home theater system just to hear stuff blow up more clearly? That man is a heathen. I knew you'd get... I mean, this is a radio program. I knew you would get under somebody's skin with that.
Run. Yea, verily, I'm a heathen.
No, your buddy's the heathen.
I do have Woodford Reserve up here. And as we speak, I'm drinking Old Weller Reserve, 12-year-old Reserve.
Yeah, that's that good stuff. Yeah, that's that 107, isn't it? Or
no, this stuff I think is around 90, 95, something like that.
Okay.
It's adequate. But, yeah. Hey, I had a pair of Macintosh tube amps. I put them up on eBay. This guy in Florida bought them and paid for shipping and told me he wanted to use them for his rear channels and his 7-channel system in his home theater. And I said, okay. He sent me money. I sent him 2 dual block mono tube amps.
Right. And the customer's always right. Yes. You're going to hear shit blow up with crystal clarity.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now the Old Crow or the Old Forester?
Old Crow.
One of my favorite restaurants, and you've been there, over in Fayetteville, their well bourbon is Old Forester.
Oh, yeah. Personally, for my palate, Old Crow.
So you're saying it's not absolutely undrinkable?
No. Not if it's old enough.
Well, you know, you know me. I'm cheap and cheerful. I'm still partial to the Reverend.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Ron.
I just have to tell you, I just got a flash back channel message from the sandbox.
Yes.
I shall be leaving you now.
Oh, dear. Okay. Are you leaving for the sandbox anytime soon, or have you managed to figure out a way to stop doing that?
No, I'm going back in March, but at the moment it's in the realm of it's their money and I want it.
Absolutely. They got a lot of it and you need some of it. tell them sometime, you know. We're perfect. It spends really well here too.
Okay. Take care, Bob.
All right, be good, Ron. Thanks a bunch, man. Later.
Got it, Ron.
Got it. Later. Hey, when you get a back channel flash message from the sandbox, you got to take the call from the sandbox. That's the one and only Ron in the far, seriously fucking frozen north. Those are Ron's words, not mine. That was a lovely little diversion. Ron always says he has nothing to bring and then brings everything. Thanks going out to our buddy Dave in Talibandiana. The fundraising goal has now dropped below $200. We're down to $195. $195 to go to finish all the way up to this evening. And what a happy thing that would be to wipe that out in the next 14 minutes or so. Irish Dave saying, Jesus, is nothing sacred? Bacardi 151 flames out the brutal hammer of truth. So, what? Is 151 going away? Is it going the way of Everclear? Yuck. Well, I mean, not yuck, but yeah. That shit with the pink cap will lead you down some bad roads. What was the date here? Oh, this is a couple of years old. I didn't realize that. Bacardi 151 discontinued late in 2016. I'll be darned. I guess it, well, you're right, Dave. Is nothing sacred. Oh, what else? Just to close the evening out. The hissies are always fun. Now, remember, I was talking a minute ago about the no State of the Union thing, because it is absolutely the right of the Speaker of the House to invite or not invite, and being as how we're in the middle of a shutdown, having an expensive, foo-frah. And remember, delivering the State of the Union address is not in the Constitution. That the president must prepare a State of the Union statement is. But there's nothing about him giving it in the chambers of the House of Representatives. But Jim Jordan of the Feedum Caucus had himself a plum hissy over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, home of the White Wing Hissy.
So many people, almost the entire House of Representatives, support the resolution that was put forward.
On the shutdown, day 26, day 25.
Bill,
I know you're counting, but we're trying to figure out how you figure your way out of this.
The Democrats won't even negotiate with the president. They didn't. He asked them to come talk yesterday, and they said no.
Hey, Jim, you were part of the majority for 2 fucking years. Why didn't y'all negotiate with the president? Democrats couldn't have done a damn thing if y'all decided to give him $5 billion or 10 or 15 or 20. Not a blessed thing. But y'all blew that off, and now you're acting all butthurt. Don't worry, it's Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, so nobody's going to call him on that.
And now what did we just learn from Mike? That the Speaker of the House is thinking about not inviting the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, to come deliver the State of the Union address?
Hey, dickhead, read the Constitution. He's only the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, not of the people of the United States, but of the armed forces during time of war. And what we're doing in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, does not constitute a war because, well, you guys in the Congress never declared it. So, you know, fuck off.
This just underscores what we've been saying. Until they start focusing on the country and not just on stopping the president, I don't know how you can reach an agreement with these folks. So hopefully that's going to change. I think we're starting to see signs. A number of House Democrats who won in these tight races in formerly Republican-held districts, they're starting to say, like, oh, we do need to get something done. One member even said that she would vote for dollars for a barrier, dollars for a wall. So I think we're starting to see that happen. And that's the only thing that'll change it.
What's the number of those Democrats you think right now?
I think I saw a list yesterday, 8 to 10 Democrats who have talked about they're upset with their leadership. Some of them have said they do support some kind of barrier, some kind of wall, because it's common sense.
No, it isn't.
We have seen this caravan phenomenon the last several months. We know another one is forming. Americans say, why in the world wouldn't you build a border security wall to help deal with this caravan phenomena that we've seen unfold over, the last few months? So I think that's beginning to change.
Hold the damn phone. Didn't the last caravan go to Tijuana? Isn't there already a wall there? What difference is that making? The difference that's being made is that the regime itself is throttling the process. And just for the fun of it, it might be instructive. To share a little piece of statute. Yes. 8 U.S. Code, Section 1158, Asylum. Subsection A, Authority to Apply for Asylum, Part 1. Any alien who is physically present in the United States or who arrives in the United States, whether or not at a designated port of arrival and including an alien who is brought to the United States after having been interdicted in international or United States waters, irrespective of such alien status, may apply for asylum in accordance with this section or, where applicable, Section 1225B of this title. If they are coming for the purpose of applying for asylum, they have an absolute and perfect right to do so without being tortured by the Trump regime or, you know, killed or given the flu. So that.
You mentioned this letter that Nancy Pelosi sent it. She's not thinking about it. She's actually written it and sent it to the president. We just learned, suggesting that the State of the Union address should be delayed until the government reopens. At the end of it, that she says, put it in writing on January 29th, the day he is due to deliver that address.
The Democrats are more concerned about stopping the president at all costs and not helping the country, in spite of the amazing 2 years that we've seen.
Well, you know, there's a different world. There's a different way to look at that. The Democrats are concerned with stopping the president and not helping the country. When the president of the United States is an asset of a foreign hostile power, when the president of the United States has proven himself time after time after time to be a traitor to this country, then by stopping said president, you are helping the American people. So there's that.
With the growth in the economy, the lowest unemployment, all the things we've seen, they're solely focused on that. And until they change, I don't know how we get a decision. But I think things are starting to break based on these fresh. There's a freshman from Oklahoma City. You don't think people in Oklahoma want a border security wall? How about the freshman Democrat who won in Mark Sanford's district in South Carolina? You don't think people in South Carolina in his district are saying, hey, work something out here. Negotiate with the president. Build.
Really? They want a wall in South Carolina? To keep out who? The Tar Heels? The Georgians? Fuck! I mean, we used to have a fort in Charleston Harbor until the South Carolinians, you know, blew that up back in 1861. Yeah, I don't think Jim Jordan really has much in the way of a grasp on the realities of the situation. Jack in Shreveport with a note, Dems just want to stop the president. Didn't a certain Republican somebody have a meeting a few years back and say the Republicans were going to be against everything Obama would do and make sure he didn't get reelected? Why, yes, yes, as a matter of fact, they did. Jim DeMented was still a senator then, from South Carolina, and he was in on it. And, gosh, I think Chinless Mitch McConnell was in on it. And they said they were going to make they were going to make the Affordable Care Act Barack Obama's Waterloo, and then, well, it didn't Waterloo very well for him because he turned around and kicked the living shit out of Bishop Willard Romney and Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan even got made a laughingstock of by Joe Biden in the debates there. Darlene in Connecticut points out, Jordan prides himself on being a fast talker, as if the form of his delivery somehow successfully masquerades as substance. But when he has to talk off the cuff without a prepared written litany in front of him, he sucks even worse. To Jim Jordan, I say, you can't subpoena phone calls. Oh, that was a lovely moment. Thank you for reminding us of it, Darlene. That was nothing short of magnificent.
Build a border security wall. So this is the way we can finally get to a solution. I applaud the president for standing tough. I think he's where the American people are, and I think more and more Democrats are...
Wow. He's got a 36% approval rating, and Jim Jordan says he thinks he's where that Trump is where the American people are, but that 36% number sort of points in the opposite direction. So I would say that Jim Jordan is... misusing the language again, he doesn't think that. He believes that. Because, see, you can believe something and have absolutely no facts to support it, which is the position in which Jim Jordan finds himself.
Going to see that.
The latest we heard from the president on this, he tweeted out, it is becoming more and more obvious that the radical Democrats are a party of open borders and crime. They want nothing to do with the major humanitarian crisis on our southern border. He ended that with hashtag 2020. How do you see what's happening today, Congressman, impacting 2020 as you look forward?
Well, I'm not so much focused on that. What I'm focused on is doing what we said. We told the American people we were going to secure the border, build a border security wall. We should keep our word. It never hurt.
Only you didn't keep your word. You had 2 years, and you didn't damned well do it. You godforsaken liar, you. I mean, sure, 36% of the maggots agree. 36% of the maggots would agree if Donald Trump tore his clothes off and started playing with himself in Lafayette Square Park. Something that is probably not, you know, astronomical odds, if you were to ask, say, a bookie in London. You know?
Hurts to do that, but he's right about the Democrats. Remember, their nominee for president in 2016, Secretary Clinton, said she wanted a borderless hemisphere.
No, she didn't, but never mind.
Congressman Blumenauer has said we should abolish ICE. We had a lady, Stacey Abrams, the gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, just this weekend say non-citizens should be allowed to vote. Those are not the positions where most Americans are. That's why it's important we stand firm and get this done.
Thank you, sir.
And continue to hang 800,000 people out to dry. Go to hell, Jim Jordan. You sorry bastard. Oh, one last thing to keep an ear or an eye out for. There will be a brand new Bruga 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 Hissy. It's already brewing. See what I did there? Bruga Bruga Brewing. A man in Atlanta arrested who, according to law enforcement officials, had talked about attacking the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial And as documents entered into the record in court showed, he had a, quote, hand-drawn diagram of the ground floor of the West Wing. You know, I'll bet you could look up the floor plan of the West Wing on the Internet and sit there and draw it out yourself with a sheet of paper. But there will be a hissy had here, because his name is Hasher Jalal Taheb. And so in the next day or so, don't be surprised if you hear that name a bunch and it's accompanied by Bruga Bruga, brown people, Bruga Bruga, hating America, Bruga Bruga, trying to take our dear and beloved God Emperor from us, Bruga Bruga. Because, well, maggots. He had a plan to target the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial with explosives and weapons. He had a plan. Nothing in there about him having any explosives or even any, well, you know, weapons. Wrapping up, I do want to give credit where credit is due to Representative Eric Swalwell of California, who said what so many of us have been saying all along, and said it in front of a camera and a microphone live in a conversation with Chris Matthews.
I'm joined now by Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell of California, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee, and Betsy Woodruff is politics reporter with the Daily Beast. Let me go with the congressman first. A lot of wiggle room there. First of all, whether he recuses himself or not, it sounds like he's not going to do it, no matter what this ethics...
Well, we don't have time. The bottom line is Eric Swalwell said, "Where I come from, when you act on behalf of the Russians, when you encourage them to hack after it's revealed they're hacking, when you take all the meetings they offer, when you meet with their leader in secret, and then you take the notes from the one witness who has a record, and act to take away sanctions, pull us out of Syria, you're working for the Russians." And I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Boom. Ta-da. And of course, today, in the Senate of the United States, a measure that would keep sanctions on a Russian oligarch intimately tied to all this filthy business. Well, that measure failed. Democrats got 11 Republicans to go along with them, but they pulled up, what, three or four votes short of the 60 that they needed to protect this country from the Russian oligarch and from the other members of the Republican Party. If you look at those 11 Republican senators, maybe that's the 11 Republican senators who aren't filthied up with NRA money. Russian money funneled through the NRA. Possibly. So thanks, everybody. That's the end of the program for the evening. Here endeth the lesson, prayer meeting Wednesday-wise. Thanks again. Tremendous thanks to John for that magnificent challenge. Thanks to Darlene for answering it. Thanks to Dave from Talibandiana for jumping in on it. When we meet again tomorrow for Thorn in the Side Thursday, we will find ourselves with a $395 fundraising goal, and that beats the dickens out of, say, you know, $695. So thank you. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this ongoing conversation and search for answers and meaning and sanity. Thanks to each and every one of you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the chat room to Sparky and Steve. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.